We are recording this podcast on the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We wish to pay our respects to elders past, present and emerging, and extend our respects to any Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander people who may be listening.
Happy holidays, everyone. I'm Priscilla.
And I'm Elise.
Welcome to Novel Feelings, where two psychologists take a deep dive into your favourite fiction novels.
Today, we are actually talking about our favourite reads of 2021. Look, we are on a bit of a hiatus, but, you know, just popping our heads in here to say, hey, we read some cool books. We kind of want to talk about them. And we did this last year as well. We had a best reads of 2020, and we thought it would be a nice idea to kind of do that again.
Yeah, it'll be a bit of fun. We have picked our top three with some difficulty.
It's always hard to narrow it down, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And they're not necessarily about mental health, though, you know, it's hard to avoid those themes in the books that we pick up.
Yeah, look, we tend to gravitate towards books with psychological themes, but look, this is not a mental health chat today. This is just a chat about books that we adored that we read this year and want to lift them up a bit and share, you know, some ranty feelings about them.
And like we said, narrowing down our favorites to just three books was quite challenging. So we will kind of cheat and give some honorable mentions as well.
And just a note that today we won't be going in depth about the books. We will not be having any spoilers. So unlike our usual discussions, which are extremely spoiler heavy, we want to just, yeah, I suppose, keep it pretty basic and pretty light and share why we like them, but not do the deep dive that we normally would do.
Yeah.
So hopefully this encourages you to maybe pick up some of these books and see if they're for you.
Okay.
All right, so what have you been up to since we went on our hiatus or our mini hiatus that didn't last that long?
Work? My life has just been focused on work lately, I think. Oh, we did go to Frozen the musical. That's like the most exciting thing that's happened lately.
It was pretty exciting. That was a good night.
Yes, it was. I suppose apart from work, I have been making the most out of life outside of lockdown. So catching up with friends, sitting down in a restaurant and having meals that are not that are not either in a plastic container or that I cook myself, which is a luxury.
Yeah, definitely.
What about you? What have you been up to?
Yes, similar. So study has been probably the main thing. I've been wrapping up one of the studies for my PhD. But we are recording this just before Christmas, so it's been a very busy time with social things.
Yeah.
As an introvert, my batteries don't have the greatest shelf life, so I took some time out today to recharge and feel a bit better before the next week starts up. Look, for those who aren't aware of the Melbourne situation, we've had another massive lockdown this year. We are in a stage of more free we still have some restrictions, but we have more freedom at the moment. Yeah. Who knows what will happen, though? We tend to yo-yo when it comes to lockdowns here.
Yeah, absolutely. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, for now it seems that we're going to be able to keep socialising through Christmas and New Year's and hopefully, you know, avoid any gigantic outbreaks is the key thing at the moment, or at least
you know, avoid catching COVID before Christmas.
Oh god, it's such a risk at the moment.
I know. Like, when do we just go into hibernation until 25th of December?
I have heard lots of stories about people doing that and just going, I'm just, you know, I want to make Christmas Day or New Year's plans or whatever, so I'm just not going to see anybody until then and stock up on rapid tests and hope for the best.
Yeah.
Anyway, still plenty of reading time, so that's the important thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Shall we?
Yeah, let's dive into some of our favourite books that we read this year. I'll get us started. So just for context, so I read so far 55 books this year. possibly get to 60 by the end of the year. I have three ongoing, two of which are audiobooks, and holidays are coming up very soon, so I wouldn't be surprised if I squeeze a couple more reads in by then. Quite a bit higher than what my average has been in previous years, so patting myself on the back for getting that far.
Thank you.
Well, look, I've read some really good books this year, so that made things a bit easier. And a few duds, but I'm not going to talk about them today.
Yes, let's just focus on what we love.
Exactly, exactly. So the first book I wanted to talk about is Red, White and Royal Blue by Casey McQuiston, which I know you have read as well, so I'm keen to hear your thoughts on this one too.
Yes.
In case you've somehow managed to avoid the hype around this book, it's about a guy named Alex who is the son of the president in the USA. And he's this very like attractive, smart young guy who holds this very petty grudge against the Prince of England or one of the princes of England, Prince Henry. And it's kind of like a long-term nemesis kind of situation. Look, shenanigans ensue. They basically start up this fake friendship to try to fix some American-British relations as a bit of damage control after an incident.
Yeah.
Look, it's a romance. You can kind of see where this is going, can't you? But look, I love this book. I thought it was, yeah, fantastic. Thank you for letting me borrow your copy, I think, before you even read it.
I was like, not going to get to this one for a while. You can have it first.
Thank you kindly. I picked it up and didn't know heaps about it. I just knew that it had a lot of hype and I really enjoyed it. I thought this book was hilarious. Yeah. It was really, really witty. You know, when you just get a group of characters together that just have, you know, excellent chef's kiss kind of banter right from the start. And I really enjoyed the romance that was in this book, which is a sort of, would you classify this as enemies to lovers? I guess it kind of was.
Kind of, but not, what's the word? They're not real enemies in that they don't have fundamental differences or hatred for each other. They just...
That is pettiness.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like they have a grudge against each other for no real good reason. So, sort of soft enemies to lovers, I guess.
It's like high school enemies to lovers. You know?
Yes.
It's not like I want to destroy the world and you have to stop me kind of enemies.
Yeah. And it's this very high stakes kind of romance as well because they're both incredibly famous people trying to sort of, you know, form this friendship which then blossoms into a romance and trying to sort of keep it on the down low, which turns out to be pretty damn difficult.
Yep.
Yeah, so I just really enjoyed it. It was a really fun read. It does touch on some heavy themes at times, but overall, it just made me feel kind of warm and fuzzy. Casey McQuiston has turned out to be one of my, you know, upcoming possibly favorite contemporary romance writers. I've read one of their other books as well, which came out this year, One Last Stop, which is another fantastic book. It's an honorable mention for me. Just because I didn't enjoy it quite as much as Red, White and Royal Blue, but I still really liked it a lot. So if I had more time and maybe I'd rant about that one too, but I really enjoyed both of those reads that came out this year. And looking forward to reading Casey's next book, which I think comes out next year as well. So if they keep this trend going, I'll be pretty happy. Just a couple of things to note. So this isn't in an alternative timeline where Trump was never president, which makes me very happy as well. It goes straight from the Obamas to Alex's mum as the president, Ellen. Quite enjoy that. And it is, this book is often shelved as young adult or even teen. It belongs more in the adult section. It's Casey McQuiston describes it as new adult, which I think fits pretty closely, but it may not be appropriate for younger readers at times.
Yeah, no. There's sex in it, people. So YA has sex in it as well, but not this level, I suppose, of descriptions.
It's a bit more explicit than YA typically would be, so just a word of warning if you don't like reading those types of books.
Yeah.
One of our friends is currently or has just finished wrapping up reading One Last Stop and described it as the horny train book. So, or a lot hornier than I thought it would be. So, you know, similar levels may apply to Red, White and Royal Blue.
I look forward to reading the horny train book.
Soon.
Yes, soon.
I have to lend you my copy.
Yes, yeah. I look forward to that.
Yeah. Anyway, what were your thoughts on this book?
I loved it as well. I was fully prepared to be disappointed just because of how much hype there was around this on Bookstagram and the, you know, the book corner of the internet in general. So I'm like, it can't be that good. So I came in with like tempered expectation, but it completely blew me out of the water with just how good it was. And just, it feels like one of those, it feels like a really good rom-com. It's got that vibe of, as you say, the witty banters and really fun characters, but with the right emotions there as well.
Yeah. And I know it's been optioned for film as well, so maybe we will see it as a movie. Though I feel like most romance adaptations tend to be a bit on the shittier side anyway.
I'm sort of hoping that there's a trend towards, you know, rom-com having a resurgence and that people will actually do that genre well again, because when we were young in the 90s there seemed to be really good rom-coms and then that just stopped.
So the formulaic early 2000s rom-coms just kind of took over. I want to see a feminist sex positive romance boom. I guess I feel like Bridgerton did start, well, Bridgerton may have started that trend, so we'll see.
Yeah, hopefully it opened a gate.
Hopefully. Anyway, that was Red, White and Royal Blue. I should note that I'm not talking about these in any particular order as well, but the three books I've chosen were all 5-star reads for me, so I'll just note that now.
Yeah, awesome.
How about you? How did you go with your reading this year?
Well, I initially set my goal for 50 books. And then I met that in September, I think, something like that. And then I put it up on an Instagram story and I was like, should I increase this by 10 and make it 60 books? And I made a poll. And then the majority of people said, yeah, go for it.
As if they're going to say no.
Well, some people did actually. And I was like, all right, let's give this a go. And now I have read 60 books this year.
Nice work.
Thank you. Yeah. I also have 3 books on the go, one of which is a romance novel. So that might be finished before the end of the year. So we'll see. But I think more interestingly, according to my stats on the story graph, I had 9 5-star reads.
Wow.
So that's a pretty good year.
Yeah, that is pretty good. I had 7, but a few of those were rereads, so I won't necessarily count them for this year.
Fair enough. I suppose one of those 5-stars was A Monster Calls, which is a reread. In addition to A Monster Calls, 3 of the 5-star reads we already reviewed on this podcast / our blog. So I'm not going to talk about those today. I'll give some love to the other ones.
Fair enough.
One of my top 3 books today is What I Like About Me by Jenna Guillaume. So this is a Love Oz YA book. The main character is a teenage girl called Maisie Martin. I believe she's in year 12.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it's about the summer. Well, not that summer. It's not the summer she turned pretty, but it is the summer that things change or things happen and she discovered things about herself.
Okay.
So she spent most of her life hiding her body from people and she's decided to enter a beauty pageant this time. And there's family drama going on, a romance subplot happening in the background as well. And it's overall, it feels like a really good teen movie. You know, it's funny. It's got that summery feeling.
Mm-hmm.
The characters are just delightful. Like Maisie is so funny in the way she narrates the story. But there are also genuine emotional beats in there. I obviously had a very different life from Maisie, given that I grew up in Indonesia and she grew up in Australia. But a lot of the insecurities about her body, the pining for the cute boy and the family stuff, a lot of that really, I feel, are universal themes, and they struck a chord with me. I also picked this up one night during a lockdown. Don't remember which one it was now.
We've had so many.
I know, yeah. And I just didn't stop. Like, I think I read this for 3 to 4 hours.
And just marathoned it. Well done.
Yeah, because I was like, oh, this is fun. And then it just didn't stop reading. And it really put a smile on my face. And that is something I really value, especially this year. Yeah. So it's just, it's really, really good.
Yeah, sounds really cute and like just kind of like breezy in a good way.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, themes of the story are not the same, but it made me think of "And Things I Hate About You" or "Legally Blonde," that kind of vibe or mood.
Maybe this one needs a rom com as well, or a teen movie, teen rom com.
Yeah, wouldn't it be great? Like, if you could have more Australian teen rom com.
That would be nice. We don't get that many movies in general in Australia.
Well, you know, you and I have had this chat about Leanne Moriarty's Nine Perfect Strangers and how it's like so Australian in the book. And then that all just disappeared.
Same as the Big Little Lies TV show. They just, yeah. It's like, you have Nicole Kidman there. Can you just let her keep her accent for once?
I know. No. Yeah, as a side note, Jenna Guillaume is a pop culture writer, and she's a lot of fun to follow on Twitter.
Yeah, she writes for BuzzFeed, doesn't she?
She used to. I think she's now a freelancer.
Yeah.
But I love her taste in pop culture, so yeah, I recommend following her on Twitter.
Good recommendation.
Yeah.
I know she posts about BTS a lot.
She does now, yes. Yeah. that's the one thing I don't understand. But she still has good, like, Christmas movies, recommendations, and book reviews and other insights into different pop culture aspects, I suppose. So,
yeah,
worth checking out if you're interested in those things.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. What's your second pick, Elise?
So my second choice is another book that you've definitely read, because you recommended this to me strongly. Okay, so it's The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo by Taylor Jenkins Reid.
Yay.
Oh, this book blew me away.
Isn't it amazing?
Yeah. So, look, this book is about an aging and reclusive Hollywood movie star, Evelyn Hugo, who decides that it's time for her to share her truth about what her life has been like, you know, all the glamour and the scandal that she's had. So she gets in contact with a journalist, Monique, who basically learns about her life story. So everything from, you know, her big break as a teenager to all seven husbands that she's had and some forbidden romance that happened along the way too. So it's kind of set from around the 1950s, predominantly around to the 80s or so. Look, she's got so much ambition. There's amazing characters in here. She has a bit of like Slytherin energy going on at times.
Very, very much.
Highly, such an interesting character, what she's been through, what the journeys that her life has taken. So thank you for the recommendation. I picked this up a while ago. I think I had a voucher for a bookstore and I knew that you really liked it and recommended it. So I bought it. And then I just had a backlog of reading that I had to do. And I had it written on a post-it note for a while to get to this book. And once I started reading it, I'm like, oh, I probably should have started earlier. It's hard to talk about it without spoiling it, because the things I really liked about it are not necessarily in the synopsis. But I'll say this book surprised me in the best possible way. So, you know, I came for the gossip and the celebrity, aspects, the glamour, the 1950s style.
Yeah.
And yeah, I stayed for the characters, the character growth, and yeah, some of the romance that happened in here. And this book really made me cry.
Yeah.
Look, I don't cry in books that often. They have to get me pretty hard to make me cry. And there were a couple of really intense chapters in a row here that definitely, definitely led to some built up emotion. Yeah. Also had some really great discussions and themes around sexuality, race, and gender roles, which I really appreciated too.
Yay. I'm so happy you love this one. It's just, this is one of those books where when I can, I really want like a hardback because it's like one of my all time favorites and I want a copy of it sitting on my shelf. It's just, yeah, another one of those extremely hype books on Instagram.
Yeah.
That I was like, you know, let's just check it out. And then it blew me away. Yeah, I think you covered everything. I don't have anything to say except that I will recommend this to everyone.
I also want to make the green dress that's on the cover.
Oh, I know. You know, if I... It is being made into a movie, I believe.
Is it? Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know this one had the rights sold. I was just thinking, yeah, this would make a great 7-part miniseries or something, or 1 part per husband.
Yeah.
Well, looking forward to seeing that once it does come out. I'm glad I got to read the book before the movie because I don't know how it's going to hold up to it, but hoping for the best.
Yeah.
All right.
So good.
So good. Book number 2 for you, what was it?
Okay, so this is a completely different book from, well, the ones that we've talked about so far, in that it is a middle grade book.
Yeah. Don't typically read a lot of middle grade, do you?
I don't. So this was quite a departure for me.
Mm.
Anyway, it's called Tiger Daughter by Rebecca Lim. It tells the story of Wen Cho, who is the daughter and only child of Chinese immigrants to Australia. And they are struggling with that move. Wen and her friend Henry both dream of an escape out of their unhappy circumstances. Henry's parents are also struggling immigrants. They're really poor and unhappy. And then tragedy strikes. And it takes all of Wen's resilience and resourcefulness to get herself and Henry through that aftermath and to pursue their dream of entering the selective high school far from their home. So I'll read this quote from Rebecca Lim on the inspiration for Tiger Daughter, because this is the reason I picked it up. A parent-teacher interview for my year 7 daughter drove home to me how much the Australian literary canon for children had not moved in over 30 years. Authentic own voices, migrant stories are still largely missing from published Australian fiction for children, and Tiger Daughter was a very visceral response to the gap between what was being recommended for my daughter to read and the actual student demographic at my daughter's school, predominantly Asian and South Asian first generation or second generation kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought this was really interesting. So I wanted to read it because obviously she's writing a non-voice and migrant story to begin with. And
does she have any other books that you know of?
I think she edited an anthology called Meet Me at the Intersection.
Ah, yes.
Yes.
And our good friend Wendy was involved with. Yep.
That's right. So I haven't read any other books from Rebecca Lim, but this one was really, how do I describe it? It's because it's a middle grade novel. It was a quick read for me, an adult. On the other hand, it really tackled some difficult topics like misogyny, suicide, coercive control and domestic abuse. And it really highlights the barriers that can exist for migrants. You know, there's the language issue, the fact that your education may be worth nothing in Australia. You can't continue your career. And that change from being, you know, considered highly educated and a promising career to really struggling and being dismissed, I suppose, can be really destructive to someone's mental health and their personality.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and also just how lonely it all can be, especially when you know, you don't have your family, you don't speak the language, you don't know anyone. It's really isolating. Gwen is in this, you know, quite terrible situation with a dad who doesn't appreciate having a daughter, doesn't see the value, I suppose, in a daughter, and is struggling with that fall, I suppose, from being a promising doctor to working in a Chinese restaurant and taking it out on his wife and child. But Wen doesn't wilt, even though she's got no control at home whatsoever. She really pushes her mom to help her friend, and it creates this bit of hope and bit of change for them.
Yeah,
I do feel like the end is perhaps a tiny bit too neat. But, you know, it's a middle grade novel. You gotta have some hope in there. I like, there's this overall message that, you know, change can happen even in the most bleak of circumstances.
Well, that sounds positive.
Yeah.
Sure. look, I haven't read it, so I can't comment on the ending, but yeah, I think it's a tricky balance for middle grade. Well, for a lot of books really, when they tackle tough themes, is that you need a balance being realistic with having that sense of hope or quote unquote a moral at the end of the story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I do recommend it, but just keep in mind the trigger warnings.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. No, it sounds like a really good read.
I borrowed it from the library with my next mention, so that was a good haul from the library.
Yeah, score. Well done.
Okay, back to you. What's your third pick for today?
Maybe continuing on with some of these themes that you've mentioned to a degree. Mm. My third book that I'm recommending today is Educated by Tara Westover. I am going to do that thing where I probably call her Tara instead of Tara at times, because that's the typical Australian pronunciation. So my apologies for my inevitable slip up there. So this is a nonfiction book, which is slightly out of character for me as someone who reads probably maybe like 2% of my books as nonfiction. But yeah, this I found to be really powerful. So just the synopsis. So Tara Westover was 17, the first time she set foot in a classroom. She was raised by isolated survivalists in Idaho, so very, very religious, fundamentalist Mormons who were, you know, preparing for the end of the world by stockpiling with the head for the hills bag, who didn't believe in traditional medicine and tried to use different healing techniques, who believed that education wasn't really, well, didn't have the same mainstream views as others might have when it comes to education. And lacking any formal education, Tara began to educate herself and slowly over time sort of realized how different her family was from what else was going on from different areas of the world and people with different belief systems. Look, this was a book that was not chosen by me. It was a book club pick for my uni group book club. And I hadn't actually heard of it before then, but once I picked it up and sort of did a bit of reading on it, realized just how popular it was when it was released a couple of years ago. And I'm really glad that I did end up reading it. Very powerful, very hard to read at times. So this book is very much, it's an autobiography. It starts in her childhood and sort of things just keep building and building and building in intensity and the tricky things that she goes through. And it needs a real, a content warning for graphic descriptions of injuries, domestic violence, and other types of familial abuse. You need to be in the right frame of mind to tackle this book. I had to read it pretty slowly, to be honest, when I was reading it. And it's, just a really incredible story, what she's been through and where her life is now compared to what it was when she was growing up. And, like some autobiographies, it is hard to tell at times how much of it is truth and how much of it is subjective and how much of it is childhood memories versus what actually happened. But sometimes the truth is stranger than fiction, so who knows? I know the family have come out and denied a lot of what happened or tried to put a different spin on things. Mm-hmm. But, you know, knowing some of the intense things that can happen when you're isolated from mainstream society, I wouldn't be surprised if there is a lot of truth in what she's been through.
Okay, cool. Yeah. As you know, I'm also not a nonfiction person really, but I will put this on my TBR.
Yeah. I will happily lend it to you.
Oh, cool.
Because I am keen to hear what you think of this one, this one too. But yeah, not a fun read, but I think an important read to have.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, put it on the pile with the horny train book. They can break each other up.
One is a lot more fun than the other one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can imagine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And what about your final book? What's number three?
All right. So this one is actually, it's not quite a 5-star. It's a 4.75 star.
That's very specific.
Yes. Okay. Well, I'll start with telling you what it is. It is Dial A for Aunties by Jessie Q. Sutanto. All right. So I will just read the synopsis because it's weird and I don't know how to like condense it. Okay, so Madeline Chan is a Chinese Indonesian who was born and raised in the US. One day she ends up accidentally killing her blind date.
Oh my God. Great start.
I know. And her meddlesome mother calls for her even more meddlesome aunties to help get rid of the body. Unfortunately, a dead body proves to be a lot more challenging to dispose of than one might anticipate, especially when it's inadvertently gets shipped in a cake cooler to a billionaire wedding.
Oh my God.
So the family does this like wedding planning business. It's the biggest job they've had, and now there's this corpse in the middle of all of that. And then on top of that, Maddie's great college love and biggest heartbreak turns out to be the hotel manager at the wedding. So now Maddie has to escape murder charges, deal with this ex, and pull off a stunning wedding all in one weekend. It's wild.
It sounds like yeah. High stakes, very high stakes.
Yeah, extremely. So my feelings about this book kind of come in two layers. There's the emotional response to it, and there's the more critical reader response, I suppose. I'll start with the more emotional response. So Maddie and I come from very similar background culturally. So we're both Chinese Indonesian. She grew up in America. I didn't grow up in Australia, but I've been here long enough by now. There are a number of details that don't quite match up. You know, Chinese Indonesian is quite a broad description, and they're not, you know, we're not all the same. surprise, surprise.
Surprise. Well, not everyone else from this culture has the exact same life experience as you.
I know, shocking.
Wow.
Thank God, because her family is extremely meddlesome. So the blind date was her mom's doing as well, but I won't spoil that any further. It's just like us reading it and, oh my God, my mom did this. I would never speak to her again.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. Sorry. There are so many things about the book that feel familiar to me. Like some of the family dynamic, maybe not the meddling part, the feelings of familial obligations, the jokes about things that get lost in translations, especially between Indonesian and English, and even the language that get used, because Jessie Q. Sutanto sprinkles Indonesian phrases and exclamations throughout the dialogue, And that feels like, I don't know, a bomb is like the word that comes to mind when I've been away from home for so long. And, you know, a lot of my friends are English-speaking people. I don't use Indonesian casually in conversation. So there's something comforting, I guess, about seeing it on the page. And I don't, there's a sense of home about it. So that was really nice, particularly when you, you know, take into consideration the context that I haven't been able to go home since 2020. So that's why I feel like this book really struck a chord with me. And it is a fun read. It's just, you know, you go along for the ride. It's just twist after twist. And I'm like, oh my God, wow. Like, surely nothing else can happen now. And it is funny in that kind of mortifying way.
Look, I'm glad you relate to, you know, family dynamics and the language use and various other bits and not the whole murder aspect or the...
Yes. Yeah. Trying to hide a dead body.
Trying to hide a dead body. Should have just thrown that in there in the things that you needed to.
Accidentally murdering my blind date that one time.
Oh, you know, you know, happens to us all.
I know.
Oh, so, good. Yeah. Well, it sounds like a good read.
Yeah. I mean, the thing that knocked off the quarter star is that you really, at some stage, suspend disbelief about the kind of things that happen. And, you know, it does border slightly ridiculous. Not to the point that I would, like, give up on the book or call the characters unkind things, which apparently people have done sometimes. It just is that sort of wacky, oddball comedy. So, I am quite happy to suspend disbelief and go along with the story.
I feel like even the synopsis, it does have that slightly ridiculous tinge to it that if you read it, you kind of have to be in for the ride. Like you jumped onto this, you sort of knew what you were getting into, right?
Yeah, you knew this wasn't going to be educated by the time I saw it.
You have to commit, I think, if you're going to jump in with that type of synopsis. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's getting a sequel.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah. I don't know what kind of shenanigans they can get into. Maybe not another murder.
Maybe not.
But it should be fun. I'm keeping an eye on it. It's also getting adapted into a Netflix movie, I think.
Excellent.
I think it's like some sort of loyalty to other Indonesians, but I'm really glad she's having, like, this author is having some success, and I'm keen to see what else she comes up with.
Awesome. Sounds good. All right, you can lend that one to me when I see you next week.
Well, that came from the library, unfortunately.
Oh, no. That's okay. We belong to the same library. I'll figure it out.
It is definitely there.
Okay, good to know. Good to know. Shall we start with our honorable mentions?
Yeah, let's go for it. What are your honorable mentions?
Okay. So, you know, a bit hard to not just list every like 4-star book that I've rated this year, but I'll highlight a few. So the first was Concrete Rose by Angie Thomas. So Concrete Rose is the prequel, I guess, to The Hate U Give, which was, of course, a really amazing, powerful book that was released a few years ago about, you know, a young black teenager who was killed by police. And this follows the main character Star's father, so what life was like growing up for him when he became a very young dad with not a lot of means to support his new family, and the sort of pathways that he was on, turning to selling drugs in particular to try to support his family, and finding out not long after one partner is pregnant that another partner becomes pregnant as well. So having two kids before you turn 18. Pretty intense. And when you don't have a lot of means to support you, you've got to do what you can to support your family. So yeah, I really enjoyed this book. Maverick is quite a funny character at times. He has a bit of that sort of teenage boy logic that isn't, you know, doesn't always hold up to to adult logic, I suppose, as well. But you know, I love Angie Thomas's writing style. As usual, she tackles tough themes with empathy and compassion and wisdom. And yeah, would highly recommend. We also did sit in on a Zoom chat with Angie Thomas.
We did, yeah.
Back earlier this year, which feels like a million years ago, when she was promoting Concrete Rose. And she answered a couple of my questions, which made me very happy as well. Well, I don't think I got anything particularly profound, but, you know, still made me happy.
Well, you got the mental health question in there.
I did. I did ask her about how she looks after herself through writing about tough themes. So that was a nice one to answer. And then I asked her about pop vinyls, because she had a lot of them in her Zoom background.
Balance.
Balance is good. The second book I'll mention is a new release, actually, Anything But Fine by Tobias Madden, that I only finished listening to maybe 2 weeks ago, listening to the audiobook. Anything But Fine is about a young ballet dancer in Ballarat, which is pretty close to home for us, mentioning a lot of, you know, well-known locations around Ballarat and so this young ballet dancer who named Luca, who sustains a pretty life-changing injury that sort of impacts the trajectory of his life. He can no longer dance. He has to go through a huge recovery period. He loses his dance scholarship and ends up at a new school where things are very different. He can no longer coast by on his scholarship. He has to pull up with his grades. He loses a lot of friends. Look, there's a lot more homophobia at that school than there was at his previous school. So, yeah, trying to sort of manage this whole new life and adjusting, and tackled a lot of themes around grief after injury, about how, you know, having that kind of, life-changing injury can completely disrupt the course of your life, but also how you feel about yourself, your goals and your dreams, and how it impacts on friendships and family relationships too, but also how there can be life at the end of the tunnel as well, that, you know, there are, you know, he finds himself, without spoiling things, you know, maybe making some stronger friendships. There may be a new romance in there. His life isn't over, but it certainly feels like that at the start of the book. So I really enjoyed that read.
It sounds like this is similar to The Other Side of Perfect. I haven't actually read it, but it's about based on the cover and what I can remember from the blurb, it's about a ballet dancer who got injured as well, but it's a girl, and I think it's set in the US. It'd be interesting to read both.
Yeah, I haven't read that one either. I know it's a trope that has been done a couple of times as well, but this was so close to home I was really interested to pick it up. And the final book I'll recommend is The Hating Game by Sally Thorne, another romance too. This one is more enemies to lovers, more typical enemies to lovers, about two highly competitive, petty co-workers who, you know, let's spoil this because it's pretty much in the synopsis, who end up falling for each other. Yeah, I just thought it was really fun. It was funny. And there's a movie coming out as well.
It's coming out in Australia, but it's out in the US as far as I know.
Yes, yes. Look, I don't have high hopes for the movie, but I still want to see it. Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah, the trailer looked a bit cheesy and predictable and I guess formulaic, but yeah. There was something about this book that I just really enjoyed. It's kind of hard to put my finger on it specifically, but I'll give it a highly commended anyway.
Cool.
And finally, I'll just note that we did cover several books on the podcast that I rated like 4 to 5 stars, a couple of 4.5s in there. I won't go through them all now, but if you do want to scroll through our blog or listen to our previous episodes, you'll definitely find some books that I loved and you loved as well in there.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said before, at least 3 to 4 of my 5 stars this year were books that we reviewed. So
yes,
clearly we had a good year with books.
Yes, just didn't want to talk about them again because we've already dissected them significantly.
Absolutely.
And what about your honorable mentions?
All right, well, one of them. It's not necessarily a book, but like an
it's two books in one.
Yeah. Leanne Moriarty was one that I discovered. Like, she's been out there, like,
she has so many books.
Yeah. Yeah, and like being extremely successful, and I just like casually did not get on that train. But yeah, I read Nine Perfect Strangers and Big Little Lies this year, just like could not stop. I listened to Nine Perfect Strangers and just kept listening any chance I got. I'm pretty sure I was the same with Big Little Lies, and that I was carrying the book everywhere I went. It's just like, it's, she's just got a really snappy writing voice, and she does this really great blend of humor and mystery.
I love her characterization as well. Like, she writes such interesting, complex characters.
Absolutely, yeah. And she always has a cast of them as well, at least in the two books that I've read. But they all manage to be quite distinct from each other. Yeah. So I am keen to explore her backlist because it seems like I have no chance of getting her new book in the library, at least.
Yeah. I have this, I know you know this already, but for the sake of the listeners, I have Leanne Moriarty's book on reserve as the audiobook on my app, and apparently I'm not going to get it till 2023, so I might have to try to track it down a bit earlier.
Yeah. Might be worth purchasing, I suppose.
Maybe, although I did go into a different library that had like four copies out front, so I might I might need to sign up for that one. But yeah, I was so happy when you picked up Nine Perfect Strangers because I listened to it like I listened to it before the TV show came out because I wanted to do that before because I thought the TV show looked really interesting. And, well, I mean, we wrote a blog post about it. You can hear hear all my thoughts about it there. I really enjoyed it. And I was so excited when you liked it too, because I was like, now please read Big Little Lies, which I think is considered to be her best work. So, you know, I don't want it to be all downhill from there, but.
Hopefully not, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll enjoy some of her other reads as well. The only other one I've read is The Hypnotist's Love Story, which I did enjoy too. I wouldn't rate it as highly as the others, but yeah, I haven't disliked anything by her so far, so
good
to keep going.
Yeah, and I guess the interesting thing is, like Red, White and Royal Blue and Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo, I think I quite deliberately didn't get on the hype train with Leanne Moriarty until you told me that you like her books, because I was like, I am bound to be disappointed by this. And I don't know why I think that. I like popular things.
Sometimes things are popular because they're good.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know why. I just expect that the hype will let me down.
Look, it's definitely happened to me before, but sometimes, you know, my taste matches up with popular fiction or popular stories or whatever. And yeah, it's nice when that does happen.
Yes, absolutely. Another book that I would like to mention is called Get Alive, Chloe Brown by Talia Hibbert. This is a romance novel about Chloe Brown, this is about Chloe Brown, who experienced a near-death experience and realized that her life isn't quite that exciting, and decides to make a list of adventures and recruits a man who she thinks is a bad boy, I suppose, to help her with those adventures. What I like about this one is that Chloe has chronic pain due to fibromyalgia. So that's a really interesting representation that I haven't read a lot of. And her love interest, Red, has trauma from an abusive relationship. And this is one of the few instances where the term triggered is used and portrayed accurately.
We don't see that a lot, too.
Yeah, I know. And like used in such a way that, you know, that third act breakup makes sense to me.
Yeah.
And then my other honorable mention is two books in one as well. It's Alicia Rye's Modern Love series. She's also really good with representation, so very diverse couples. mental health issues are big in both books in terms of, you know, their name described, but the characters also, well, most of them are actively addressing them, or if they're not, then they're experiencing the downside of not addressing what's going on. And the romance is on point as well.
Excellent. But I like to hear.
Yes. I didn't put this on here because it feels like it was a million years ago, but I read the Cruel Prince series. Well, that's not the name of the series, is it? The Fog of the Air series. I read the Fog of the Air series in January this year.
But, wow. Yeah. A million years ago, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I was like scrolling through my stats and I'm like, oh, that was this year.
Not that long after I ranted about it in our previous Best Books
yes,
of the Year episode. And I was like, please read The Cruel Prince.
Yeah. And yes, I did. And, you know, of course, you are right. They were excellent. I rated the last book 5 stars, actually, because I thought it was just perfect conclusion.
Yeah, I really actually want to reread the rest of the series because we covered the first book in the series with the Read It Next podcast, and it just kind of made me want to reread the whole thing again because it held up really well.
Yeah. Yeah, do it. Yeah.
And then the Cardin's book came out this year as well, the illustrated book, which was just a nice little cherry on top of the series too. Like I had no idea that that was coming up until I started to see posts about it. I'm like, what? I didn't know I needed this in my life, but yes. I do.
And there it is.
Yeah. So if you want to read about, you know, the fairy prince trying boba for the first time and so on.
Yeah.
I'm really glad you like them. You know, one thing that we've been doing this year is we've started catching up with some friends about, you know, forming our own little book club about books that we like and the risk of sharing them with other people and if they don't like them, what what it means. So, you know, we call it Danger Book Club. We cycle around everyone who chooses a book that they love and everyone reads it, and then we chat about it and dissect it, and that's the danger. What if they don't love what you love? So
yeah.
Look, this is our own little mini Danger Book Club at times, because, you know, when I so highly recommended The Cruel Prince and was very enthusiastic about it, I was like, oh no, what if she doesn't like it?
Yeah.
It happens sometimes, but I'm glad that you enjoyed this one.
Yes, absolutely. I think this year we've done pretty well, I think, with recommending books to each other.
Yeah. Well, you've never recommended a book to me that I've actively disliked. There have been some that maybe I haven't been as, you know, enthusiastic about as you have, or maybe just didn't, you know, have as much of an emotional response as you did, and I'm sure vice versa.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, there's never been anything where I've been like, oh, this is awkward, I don't know what to do here.
Yeah, that's right, which is good because that would be a test of our friendship.
Yes. we generally have pretty overlapping taste in books, so
yeah, that's right,
hence we're still doing this together.
All right, I think that's all for today.
Yeah, I think that's everything. Talked about plenty of books and looking forward to reading a lot more in 2022. Well, not, you know, not necessarily going to read more than I did this year. Yes. But
hopefully not. Hopefully we'll be having some semblance of a regular social life.
Hoping to continue with some great 5-star reads.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. Yes. Well, that's everything for today. Remember to check out our website, novelfeelings.com, and follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Goodreads at novel_feelings. We are the most active on Instagram at the moment. You know, we post there regularly. We do little mini book reviews. We do reels now. That's a thing that we do. Book photography and so on. And still with that kind of mental health lens. And we are still doing written reviews on our website blog. So please check that out. Podcast is still technically on hiatus. But of course, keep us in your feeds. Who knows when we will be able to post next. But, you know, never say never.
Absolutely. Maybe just like this one, we'll just pop up randomly some months in the future.
Of course, of course.
You can also find me online. So I am at Pave with books with an extra S at Instagram. And at time of recording, it is actually active again.
Yay!
Yeah, so you'll find my reviews there. And sometimes I cross-promote what we're doing as well.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much for listening, everybody. Hope you have a lovely new year and a wonderful 2022.
Yeah, enjoy the end of the year. Have a good break.
See you next year. Bye.